Are not back to back, but they ought to be. Who in his time will prove who is the blessed and only potentate, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Praise the Lord. We're looking for that glorious day. Hallelujah.
Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sin far away. Rising, he justified. Forever, one day he's coming back to a glorious day. Didn't he love me? Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried me. Too far away. Rising, he justified. Me forever. One day he's coming back to a glorious day. Didn't he love me? He saved me, buried, he carried me, sin far away, rising, he justified, see me forever, one day he's coming back, glorious day, didn't he love me, dying, he saved me, buried, he carried me, sin far away, rising, he justified. Forever, one day he's coming back to glorious day. Didn't he love me? Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried me. Sin far away. Rising, he justified. See me forever. One day he's coming back to glorious day.
Into my life when I was such a young age. I really don't know anything except Jesus Christ. I know I've had a career. I know I've had a family. But all my life, the presence of God has been there and been with me. It's all I know. I want to take that to the grave with me as well. Not that I intend on going too soon here, but I just know that all my life has been overshadowed by the presence of God, and I couldn't be more thankful today that I know the day that Jesus came into my heart, even though I was a child. I was only 8 years old when I received the Holy Ghost, but I've known him all my life, and I remember the day, even as a child, that he came into my life. I went to school. I tried to tell my little friend was Marion Rowe Trammell. And I tried to tell her about it, and she kind of understood a little bit. She went and told my teacher, and my teacher just kind of said, oh, isn't that nice? She didn't have a clue. But I remember it was such a momentous occasion in my life, even though I was 8. So what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart.
Everybody said, praise the Lord. The mic is alive. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I remember when Jesus came into my heart. I really believe that when people truly experience God, you know, that that is going to be the ultimate feeling of victory and hope and promise and all the things that God has given to us. Amen. That we're going to be a part of that. I mean, I know it sounds preposterous and hard to believe, and some people just can't understand and cope with the magnitude of all of it. He told us that he was coming back. Yes. That to us has been a long time ago. That to him, he operates on his own time without consulting me or Brother Kellum, and right there runs it all as far as that goes. Amen. But he is our Savior, and there is an experience. Amen. That I think that probably if you would study Christianity today, I doubt if there's a quarter of those people, amen, that really believe in the experience. A.W. Tozer, I don't know if I quoted that before, but he had a statement talking about how that the churches in the world want people to come to fill the church. But the people that are truly into the Word of God and the Spirit of God, we want people to come to church so that we can fill them with God. Amen. Praise the Lord. And His name is Jesus. And so today we're going to talk a little bit about leadership. And, you know, hopefully that we can, this is not my time. I actually went back and sat down thinking I had even a little bit more time, and it dawned on me. I'm so old I can't even keep the time straight. Hallelujah. But let's stand as we read the Word of God and give honor to that. Turning to 2 Samuel chapter 9. And it says this concerning David in 1 through 7. And David said, "Is there any that is left in the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And there was of the house of Saul a servant named Ziba. And when he called unto him, unto David, the king said unto him, "Art thou Ziba?" And he says, "Thy servant is he." And the king said, "Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show kindness of God unto him?" And Ziba said unto the king, "That Jonathan hath a son, which is lame of bare feet, or on his feet." And the king said unto him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said unto him, said unto the king, "Behold, he is in the house of Makar, amen, and his son Emil, and Lodabar. And the king David sent and fetched him out of the house of Makar, and said unto Emil from Lodabar, amen. Hey, don't laugh. It's all there. Mephibosheth, amen. A young man named Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, and was come unto David, and he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said unto Mephibosheth, and answered him, "Behold, thy servant." And David said unto him, "Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan, the father's sake, and will restore thee to all the land of Saul, thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." Amen. Those promises that he would restore that land, that he would eat at the table continually. That's just what we got finished doing probably about Thursday. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Amen. There's a verse in 2 Samuel chapter 4, verse 4, that tells us, and not everybody would probably know who Mephibosheth was in the Bible. And if you knew it, you probably couldn't utter it or say it. And sometimes I find that some of those words don't agree with each other from translation to translation. But it says, and Jonathan's, Saul's son, had a son that was lame of his feet. And he was 5 years old when the tiding came, and Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel. And his nurse took him up and fled, and it came to pass, as she made haste to flee, that he fell and became lame. And his name was Mephibosheth. We know that the godliness things, godly leaders in our world, is trying to try to keep us. It's very important that as men of God and women of God, that we become very well-versed and disciplined when it comes to keeping covenants or promises or things that we've made against each other. We don't ever want to wear the label liar. Amen. Or that somebody that just didn't care. But there is something about the Word of God that asks us to adhere to those things and keep them. And so as we study this story, we want to talk a little bit about some of the history that has gone in this first reading. It deals with, as a matter of fact, as we see this, we know that the story of David and Mephibosheth was the beginning of David's relationship with his father, Jonathan. Over time, an intense loyalty developed between David and Jonathan. Their relationship was deeper than typical connection between the best friends. They were more like brothers. By all rights, Jonathan, being the first of the kingdom of the king, Saul should have been a successor, or of the king of Saul should have been the successor of the throne of Israel. However, God rejected Saul from being for his rebellious and chose David and his descendants to rule instead. There was no indication in the scripture that Jonathan was jealous of David. And laying anything, Jonathan seemed to be at peace with the working of God despite his unreasonable father. And I know there's a lot of circumstances in all of our lives to where, how many of you have ever been happy? That looks pretty good, a smile on your face. Hallelujah. And how many of you ever been in trouble? Come on now, you got to be faithful here. No lies, remember? Going to tell the truth. And this is somewhat what happens when things in the kingdom of God goes awry. And, of course, he begins off with a man named Saul. And Saul was the king of Israel, all of Israel. And he was one that probably was had his conscience and his life very much soothed by a man called David. And of course, at this time, as we've heard in the last few weeks, David and Saul went through quite a few hassles in life. Matter of fact, a number of them did. And David had this deal to where when he killed the giant, and after he killed the giant, I should say that there was a number of the population. David could have won the presidency at that time, you know, and be well informed and just walk in that path because people liked David very much. Saul, though more powerful in position, amen, was one that people did not like as much. Amen. Over his lifespan, he made a lot of foolish decisions. He had one of the most tremendous men that ever walked on the face of the earth named Samuel that taught him and wanted to keep a relationship with them, but he found it difficult because Saul was always doing things that he was told not to do. Amen. And before long, it was the place to where people says, I cannot trust him. I cannot believe in him. And sometimes we talk about that with our own relationships with one another as well as with God, that we have good relationships, and then there's days maybe they're not so good. And that does not influence the world whatsoever except toward the wrong direction. Amen. We come together to be friends with one another, to treat everybody as well as we can. Amen. To realize that there are those out there in the world, and thank God we live in America. Amen, because when we talk about political positions and kings and authorities as far as this world goes, we understand that we are in a very dark time. They don't understand that. Everybody said, well, you know, this guy's not very smart or that guy's doing this or whatever. I don't know if we've ever had a smart man in politics in a long time because it would take a lot of wrong, amen, to become now our debt is in the trillions. Amen. And it is there in a very way to where it's very dangerous to our country. And so you think about some people of these you would have, and we know that our leaders never lie. Amen. I just did. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Amen. And so anyway, Jonathan was the son of Saul. And he saw all of the times that Saul went beyond what Samuel had told him and what other people had instructed him. So before long we find to where he becomes very evil and strongly evil because it gets to the place to where this man David enters into the picture, and because that David has slain the 10,000 and Saul had only slain the 1,000, I don't know if those numbers are right, but at least their song said that. Amen, that Saul has slain his thousands, but David has slain his 10,000s. Of course, that this was a part of the wars that they were in. And David was very innocent looking, as described as somebody not huge. And of course, when Goliath was in front of him, David won the spirit of all of Israel when he killed him on that day. Amen, and spoke of that. And so David moves into this place to where you know, he's kind of next in run. He's in good favor in a way with Saul, but not really. Matter of fact, we know the whole story. No, it wasn't very good at all. And so David, so as he is doing these things, he is trying to get into the life. I really think he wanted to be a servant of Saul. He named himself as a servant of Saul, even though he knew that Saul was not right. Saul would call him into his house, and he probably not considered to be part of the political view of that day, but he was granted a seat in the house of Saul and sat just a few places away from Saul, if not next to him. And so there was a lot of things that was happening in all of these lives that Saul had his influence, and Samuel had his religious influence, probably more perfect than all of them. We know that David was a man that was after God's own heart. And in spite of the time, he was not a perfect man. You will not find that perfect man here. You will not find that perfect man as far as in the lives of these people that are here. But in the presence of God, amen. I'm so glad I know. You know, there's most people, or many people, if not most of them, amen, don't believe that God can talk to you. And if he doesn't, I can't figure out what that is in my car when I get on a trip and I start thinking about God and I feel the presence of the Lord and blessed of God. Amen. And it's, I've heard him speak to me, I believe. Don't look at me as like a lunatic, because it's the truth. You ought to enjoy it. Amen. Say, hey, I want that to happen to me. It keep me awake when I'm driving, at least anyway. Amen. And so with Saul. And so we enter into this picture to where these are a part of the kingship. The kingship should have gone from Saul to Jonathan. But he couldn't do that because God had so left, Saul was so, maybe I should say, it was not able to take care of his family, his army, his impulses, and what was right, what was wrong. Amen. And so we have to see that now it's kind of uttered in the Word of God that the next one was coming. And when that quickly went awry, because everybody knew it was going to be David and all of his sons, even Mephibosheth, was not going to be a part of that kingship as far as those things go, but they could sit at the table like David sat at the table. In kingdoms that are ordained of God, there is a table spread, amen, where the hearts of our men are fed and women, amen, to the place to where we know that it is of a great blessing. After two attempts on the life of David, after the two separate attempts of his life, David was warned by Jonathan to leave the place and never come back. David began his life as a fugitive, fleeing the palace, and it made him covenant. He was the one that came into that parlor set there, and Saul just wanted to hear him play his harp, amen, or whatever he was going to play. And he got to sit at the table with the very best of the best, and that's where Saul wanted him. But through the power of God and the preservation of God that he puts upon his people, though he sought to kill David on at least two occasions and maybe even had in his heart to kill him more times than that, amen, I'm sure that he did, because it was almost like David got to the place to where he infuriated him. It's almost like people today that get jealous of somebody else. Can't like everybody, but you have to be aware of the fact that if something is making me so mad, Jesus said this, amen, that we got to forgive our brother, amen, and our sisters, and we got to have this presence in our ministry to where, you know, everybody on this earth is that Lord Jesus even taught us to love your enemy. And one of the best ways to love your enemy is to get in a spot to where you can minister to them and bring them to the house of God. You heard Sister Davis, how long it took for God to get to her heart. Wait a minute. I tell you, the church all knows this. I was in church for 18 and a half years, building only. I never got past the building. I just walked in the church because my mom and dad made me go to church. Today, I think it's the best thing that ever happened to me in life, that my parents made me go to church. Amen. If I was to do some things that I wanted to do worldly, that was okay. But you know what? You're going to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, every night a revival. You know, and so here I am. I'm in a place to where even in that state of mind, I knew there was a God. And the reason why is I knew conviction. I knew him from the other end of the spectrum. David was one of blessing and one that wants to encourage somebody else and had that leadership ability, amen, that God gave to him. But to me, I just wanted to know, you know, when I'm going to get out of this. But in reality, there was a love for God in my heart. There were times that would come in my life, I would pray, amen, and believe that God was going to be there, and God was there to answer. Like you, you probably had occasions to where you could look back to a time in life and know that right there is the time that I could have been killed. Amen. There are people that die young, and we understand that and live with that. Let me just move down here. It says, and so it was when David finished speaking the words to Saul that Saul said, is this your voice, my son David? And Saul lifted up his voice and wept. And then he said unto David, you are more righteous than I, and you are have more reward with me. You have rewarded me with good, whereas I have rewarded you with evil. And even though he's feeling sorry for these things, he goes on and says, and that you may show this day how that I have felt and wished for me, that when the Lord delivered me into your hand, you did not kill me. For if a man finds an enemy and he let him get away safely, therefore may the Lord reward you for the good of what you have done to me this day. And now I know indeed that you shall surely be king, and the kingdom of Israel is going to be established in your hand. And therefore, surely the king, and swear now unto me and the Lord that you will not cut off my descendants after me. And that was a request that he had. I don't want you taking the life of Jonathan or the life of Mephibosheth or any of the king of the family of Jonathan out there and all of these things that were in front of David. And so Saul knew that. Saul just never allowed himself the opportunity to pursue it and apprehend it in his life, amen, to where he could be a better king. But he respected David. It shows in this scripture here in 1 Samuel chapter 24, 16, 22. I'm sorry, I just started reading that, Brother Jay. You can kill me later. Therefore, swear now unto me in the Lord that you will not cut off my descendants after me, and that you will not destroy my name from my father's house. And so David swore to Saul, and Saul went home, amen, and David and his men went up to the stronghold, amen, to position themselves for war. We're introduced to a guy named Zibda in this story, amen, and he is of the house of Saul. He is the one that run Saul's business. He sat at that table. He was very close to the leadership of Saul. Amen. He also was very close, I believe, to what David had given to him. King David was a ruler under the direction of God with a careful to obey all of God's commands. Zibda no doubt watched David carefully and set faithful men in leadership positions. Amen. Perhaps he was reflecting on those men that David began to wonder among Saul's relatives, which are still alive and a part of his kingdom. And he contacted Zibda, and knowing therefore, I don't have all this in scripture here, Brother Jay, I'm sorry, but it's just written out. You're not losing me. I'm just lost already. Okay. Just teasing. He contacted Zibda, knowing that the servant of Saul's house, and asked him if there was anyone living whom he could show kindness for Jonathan's sake. Of course, at this time, Saul and Jonathan had been slain, you know, in a warfare that they had. And so Zibda is searching out what is out there left in Saul's kingdom, amen, in Jonathan's kingdom, if we could use that term. And he contacted Zibda, knowing that the son of Saul's household, and asked him if there was any living that he could show kindness for Jonathan's sake, that he could show kindness for Jonathan's sake, and that he could show kindness for Jonathan's sake. He doesn't bring Saul into this picture. Amen. Doesn't want to identify with that, but he very much loved. You know what? It would be awesome if we could all just love each other like Jonathan and David had in this religious. You know, I don't think that there would be as much backsliding. I don't think there would be as much doubting. Amen. I think that they were two men that had, it says in one place, a like soul. You know, we're like each other. Amen. Sometimes you ever have a friend that you start to say something and it happens with your wife and sometimes very good friends, they know where you're going and you both come back with the same response in harmony. You know, you say it just in the same tone of voice. You say it in the same direction. You have the same experience. Amen. And you want to encourage and strengthen. And so that would be there. Saul, when David frequented the palaces, sat at the king's table. Nevertheless, David remembered the oath between him and his dearest friend who had been killed in a battle along with Saul. Upon inquiry, David learned of Mephibosheth, amen, which was Jonathan's son. It happened here to this case, and I would say, let me add this little tidbit in there, so to speak. If there was anything wrong with you, you know, if you had an affliction, if you had a disability, you were regarded as somebody that was almost non-existent. They were not always invited. Matter of fact, if this man had his place, he runs to a place of hiding and clothing. David's invitation and inclusion of Mephibosheth into David's household appointed David to be his servant. Ziba was 15 sons and 20 servants who were commissioned, amen, to farm the land and the crops so that every need of Mephibosheth would be provided for him. That's found in 2 Samuel 9 and 10. I didn't even have that on the list back there. David also appointed Mephibosheth to see the master of all people in Ziba's household. Ziba was no longer called the servant of Saul's house. He and his family were the servants, amen, here to serve Mephibosheth. Amen. So David has this concerted effort in himself. I got to know if there's somebody else in this household, somebody else that I want to give them an act of kindness. It was all about Jonathan. It wasn't about Saul. But he loved Jonathan so much that he wanted Jonathan to have a fair shake in everything. At this time, Jonathan has died in war with Saul, his father, and there's nobody else around to really be found. The brothers of Saul, amen, were also killed in battle, amen. And here there's somebody out there wondering and comes to him and says, you know what, there is one. But he doesn't live in a palace. He lives with a man that is probably not so fortunate. He does not maybe have a lot of money, but he felt like Mephibosheth was just a child at the news of Saul and Jonathan proclaimed in her haste to flee. Now, that's an error in typing, and that's not my word. I'd even type this. Mephibosheth's nurse dropped him and became crippled, and now he is relating this story to David. Mephibosheth grew up under another man's house in the land of Lo-debar. And we do not know how old Mephibosheth was when he was taken by David, but he was old enough to have a son. Mephibosheth also thought that David intended to kill him. His fears were like was thought in the world. If you're overrun by a country, amen, and you're in battle, that they are always instructed, kill every man, kill every woman, amen, take their belongings, possess their land, amen, just ruin their lives, amen. And that was their thought. And that's how the enemy thinks. He's not out just to deceive us a little bit. He's out to murder us, amen. He's that thief that steals and kills and wants to destroy. And that's why when he is ruling in our lives, our conviction, you know, sometimes hits us and we wonder, you know, can I make it through this? Is he going to kill me? That's his ultimate goal in everybody. Amen. To destroy them. But David did not want that in this household, amen, if partially, if not all, that he loved Jonathan so much he wanted Jonathan's life to be taken good care of. Now that's kind of a nice friend, somebody that takes care of you, amen, after you're gone, and they love you, they bring you into the temple, amen, or into the place of the seat of the king, amen. He's there with all business. He gets to eat that good food. Amen. He gets to hear, you know, like he's maybe somebody. And David is there eventually to the place to where he knows that this now belongs. Now listen to this. Mephibosheth thought David intended to kill him, for the fears warranted because of the many times the king ascends to the throne that he would order those who were related, amen, prior to that thing to be slain. Perhaps the fear caused Mephibosheth to consent to live a life as a pauper in another man's house rather than to claim the land of the father and grandfather. First, the response to David shows that Mephibosheth must have had no knowledge of the covenant David had with his father. He fell on his face in reverence to David as he explains to him that David wanted to show Saul kindness. Amen. He showed Jonathan great kindness because of their likeness, and yet he was one that wanted to walk this path that David was walking. The first response to David shows Mephibosheth must have had no knowledge of that covenant. He fell on his face, he reverenced, and from the highest surrender. Mephibosheth called himself a dead dog to the mighty king of David. Mephibosheth feared for his life. Amen. So that no cause to be afraid, David made his oath to Mephibosheth's father, Jonathan. And this was what David would do to honor that oath. He never forgot it. Could have been very easy for somebody to owe somebody something that they're not even aware that they have. And it's kind of laying there. Now, I know you'd never do it, but it was probably close enough that somebody could have come in and without any struggle whatsoever and make everything. The young man didn't even know he had it. Amen. Until it reveals to him now what comes to him is that he has this life. Amen. Coming down and sitting at the table. David used to sit at that seat, play his music. Probably still does. Amen. And Mephibosheth was receiving the very best of the best. Amen. I know that we don't look like we are the best. I know we don't always dress as if we're the best. And I'm not condemning how you dress there, but all these things that go on, amen, happens to somebody that, you know, finds out there's somebody that loved my dad. And somebody that loved me. And not only that, I got all the land that Saul had. I have 15 people that take care of it. You know, he starts talking about how big his organization is, you know, and just in the place that he has accumulated these things. It's just an act of God's mercy, amen, upon this man that he found him. And that he did not heal him physically, but he healed him, I believe, mentally. He didn't have to worry about dying now because nobody is chasing him, and he founds this land. Mephibosheth had no need to be afraid. David let Mephibosheth know his grandfather's land would be restored to him and that he would be welcome eating at the king's house every day. I understand that's a table of authority and power and decision-making, but Mephibosheth, you're going to be a part of it. And so he has to kind of struggle in there, deformed with his feet, maybe even have to have somebody carry him into the facility, set him in a chair. Don't know the state of all of that, but I know one thing. Where he was, he became a whole new, different man. Mephibosheth's life came alive because David reacted and responded kindly. Everybody said amen? Praise the Lord. He was seated at the king's table. Let me read these for you here, if you would. Let's drop down to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, 18. And he saith unto me, right, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. Revelation chapter 19 and 9 in that one. And what an honor it is to sit and Jesus, one of the most intimate family settings. The Lord is assured that we will be his sons and daughters. And so he says, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you and be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. What an invitation he's given to us to say, hey, you can come and sup with me. Amen. You can live in my temple. You can walk with me in my knowledge. And God would take care of those things. God wants to bring us to that place to where we come out from among them. You know, we don't come out from the world to hate the world. We come out from the world just so that they can see a better life in somebody. Amen. That they can walk in a different direction. That they can go through these things that God has given them. It's often been quoted that mercy is not getting what we deserve. It's getting what we excuse me, mercy is not getting what we deserve. Grace is getting what we do not deserve. Amen. Very close. These two words will run parallel. David, as he wrote his scriptures, the word mercy, amen, is infiltrated there, amen, because he had a conviction. He felt our mercies would be new every morning. Amen. I believe it is be every morning because David said it by the word of God. We wake up blessed. Amen. We're not getting what we deserve. Amen. But we're getting what we do not deserve. Amen. And that's the presence of God and the power of God that is working in our lives. And all began when Saul threw a spear at David, that one of the most loyal men in his armor bearer. It did not matter how loyal David was to Saul or how hard David tried to prove. He says this, it seemed that mercy was always just out of reach, amen, for Saul. Saul was more intent upon soothing his jealousy, amen, than showing a little mercy to a man worthy of justice. Perhaps this is what inspired David to search out for the family of Jonathan, that the greatest act of mercy that David experienced from a family of Saul had to come by Jonathan, amen, and he showed grace and mercy toward David, and Saul lacked both. And the friendship between David and Jonathan was a gift. They loved each other as their own souls. That relationship, and I'm so glad that in our walk with God that we've entered into a great fellowship, a great, you know, ministry, a great confidence, amen, that is there. Love biblical stories, amen. I love preaching them, probably better trying to teach on them, but there's just something that always there that appeals, that somebody special arises. Amen. You go through the scripture, the word. I'm not saying that every person that was in that scripture felt like that, there were some people that did not like it, and they moved out. There's some people that liked it, but just can't seem to understand it and get back to it. There's people that really you can talk in your everyday life, amen, about scripture, and then they'll come up with some idea that is so far-fetched, amen, because it's not secure and founded in the word, amen. I'm so glad, amen, that I know the scripture. David was mindful of the promises he made to God and was careful to follow God's statutes and law. When David made a mistake, listen to this, when David made a mistake, he was quick to repent and ask God forgiveness. After David committed adultery with Bathsheba and caused her husband to be slain in battle, he prayed. And this is a prayer that we find in the book of Psalms, chapter 51, verse 10 through 12. I don't have that on there. It says, and this is after he committed a terrible sin. He committed adultery, and he actually committed murder. Amen. Maybe he did not look upon that and didn't understand it till later, but when finally Nathan comes and stands in front of him and points his finger at him, he felt that condemnation. He felt that conviction. He felt that power. Amen. And he says this, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me, and cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me, but restore to me the joy of my salvation, and uphold me by the free spirit. Amen. And this was what he was praying in this prayer of repentance. You know, renew in me a right spirit. Create in me a clean heart. Make me a good man. Amen. David was good, but he had a flaw. And flaws we get over in the church. We don't walk in darkness. Amen. We come to the light. We take that example of David. Amen. And I think David moved very quickly. As soon as he knew that somebody else had found that out, he said, well, Brother David, so he might not have repented if they wouldn't have found it out. He would have. I really believe that. I believe that most people will if they will just let themselves go. And we live in the joy, the presence of the joy of the Lord. Amen. You said, Brother Davis, you're not like the world. We're not here to be like the world. We're here to study this word and, you know, start without maybe just reading the red because we really want to be like Jesus. And then sometimes we might need it again because we really need to be like Jesus. And then we look to the word and we find out the directions in our lives that are made to build us up and strengthen us, amen, and bring us to a life that the Bible calls it's the filling of living water. We'll have good food. We'll have good everything. But most of all, we need to just spring ourselves into that place to till we understand that God, you know, people are looking for honest people, kind people, gracious people. We don't go into a restaurant, amen, order a nice meal, treat the waitress like dirt, don't give her a tip. There are nasty people that can do that, and sometimes they're in churches. But we're going to love that person, amen. There have been times that I got the worst meal of my life, and I try to give the waitress a good tip, because it's not usually her fault. Hallelujah. Amen. Lord bless you in Jesus' name.
Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, church. Good morning.
Praise the Lord.
Good morning. If we could all stand as we open up today's service. How many are excited for what God is going to do in this place today? Amen. Amen. And we just went through Thanksgiving week, and we had Thanksgiving service here Tuesday night, and a lot of us got up and we talked about what we're thankful that God has done so far in 2019. We're thankful for all the good that he's brought us through, or all the bad that he's brought us through, and all the good that he's given us. But as we move past Thanksgiving, we head into Christmas, and end of year stuff starts to take place. I don't want to lose that spirit.